Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Brother Jeff, if you and Brother Robertson would help us. Brother Robertson, would you come and help us with our offering tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. It was really great to get an email from Brother Shachterman that he had met his requirements for his doctorate degree at Grand Canyon University, and that's been a long time coming because he started out at Virginia International University to get his master's, though he had degrees over in India. But this is quite an accomplishment as he is, his dissertation has been approved for his doctorate and business administration, right? Yeah. And but he'll be working up in the mountains and with government approval and such, and so praise God for that. Just want everyone know that and rejoice. Let us pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to your house and we can come into your presence. And Lord, I pray for every person that hears our voice tonight. Lord, that you would minister to them. And you know, God, when you're going to change things radically, and it'll change in a moment. And Lord, help us to be prepared, really prepared, Lord. And Father, I pray that tonight that you would help us to redeem the time and let your Spirit speak to us. Father, I pray you'd bless this offering, bless your people, Lord, and help us, Lord, to give unto you tonight all that we are, all that we have, all that we ever hope to be, Lord God. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Men, if you would, please. Thank you so very much. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to John chapter 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And if you don't have your Bibles, then shame on you. You may have it on your phone or whatever, but you need to bring your word out in the wilderness of society where the lion is, because he is the devil. Your adversary goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We were talking this morning about life, and I want to touch on that and then go to something a little bit different. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word, the power of words. Yes. You can stand or be seated beside a judge, and he may say, raise your right hand, put your hand on the Bible, and answer this question. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Now, how you answer that can change your life. If you say, I do, and then you tell something that's not true, they may lock you up for a few years just because of something you said. The power of the Word. Yes. The Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. A powerful, powerful verse. Now, we're talking about life, okay? And this thing of life is overwhelming. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Yes. in Jesus he's talking about. Because Jesus was God. The spirit that was in him was God. Jesus was born of God. And in Jesus was life and everything that it means. In him was the fullness of God, Scripture tells us. He did not think it robbery to be counted equal with God, because he was God. In him was life. In Jesus was life. Now, without Jesus, we could not have real life. And this life was the light of men. Jesus was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness didn't get it. The darkness comprehended it not. So, humanity missed what God was doing. God knew that. And so he gave us the word. What he was going to do as he became a human being, he was going to reveal himself to us. And he's going to do it by the word. He gave us a word. God could have done all kind of miracles, whatever, but he chose to give unto us the word and eventually the written word. And the word at one time was written in various ways, and on skins and in the dirt and whatever. But we have the word to where you can have it on your wrist telephone, so you can have the word of God. Okay, so this was life. The whole word is life. God's word is life, because Jesus and life cannot be separated. You cannot have one without the other. Without Jesus, you are dead in sin. It means you're dead, and you're a dead sinner. You are dead because you do not have real life. Your body is alive, but the real you is considered by God dead because you do not have Christ in your life. Life. This man, Jesus, was life. He was life. And he died for us. He became dead so we can have life. If we will receive him and believe him, we can have life. And this life is the light that shines in darkness. We are not turning on our light as we should. We are Christians with the responsibility of lighting the world. We are to be a light unto the world. We are to be a light unto the world. When we become a Christian, we are saying that he is the Lord of our lives, which means he can do whatever he wants to with them. Now, he may have to listen to us complain and carry on, but he has a right to do anything with us. We become a slave to him. We become a slave to him. We are a love slave to him. Gladly. Gladly, we want to be used of him. In John, go to chapter 5, if you would. John chapter 5. And in verse 25. Verily, verily, or listen up, truth. This is a truth, is what he's saying. I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. He's talking about himself. And they that hear shall live. There's some that are going to hear the voice of God. Even though the body is dead, the spirit is not. And so the time is coming when the dead are going to hear the voice of the Son of God. For the Father, in verse 26, hath given life in Himself. As the Father, hath life in Himself. God has life. God is life. God can speak and there be life. He spoke to the dead and they came to life. He can say the word and nothing becomes something. God gave this man, born of a woman, the power to be able to say, to speak, and make things that are not as though they were. God can change things or make things that are not even in existence. He can speak the word and make something out of nothing. And God wants to do that. He wants to make light out of darkness. He wants to make health out of sickness. He wants to make salvation out of people who are lost. And He wants us to be the instrument for doing that, my friend. So, as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. And He gave Him, He has given Him authority to execute judgment also. Or Jesus has the authority to make decisions. He can decide. Jesus said we need to ask Him. Because He has authority. And He has the authority to execute authority or to put authority into action. He has the authority to give you authority. Did he not give the disciples authority? I give you power over all the power of the enemy. He has done that for every Christian there is. He has given us power unbelievable, but we don't have time to walk in it. So we just kind of crawl down through life. So He hath life in Himself. He hath given this man, Jesus, born of a woman, has the power to give you the authority over the power of the devil, who, by the way, is your enemy. He is your enemy. Satanic powers came to church tonight. We don't welcome them. But they come. And they want to distract you. They want to worry you. They want to make you not believe things. They want you to get frustrated, aggravated. They want you to get offended. And anything they can do to keep you from receiving what He has for you. Okay? And He does this all the time, 24/7. Well, He has, in verse 7, the authority to execute judgment or decisions because He's Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. Some are going to come to the resurrection of life and some to death. Okay, this is about life. We're talking about life. There is so much in life. Over and over, we'll find in the Scripture, they give up your life. Sacrifice your life. Don't try and save your life. Because, quite frankly, it's not worth saving compared to what He has for us. Jesus has life in Himself, we just read. In chapter 8 of John, I want to remind you about what we had just read in chapter 1. In chapter 8, and verse 12. Jesus, speaking to the woman that caught in the very act of adultery, they called her, and He said He did not condemn her. In verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And the Pharisees said to Him, you're lying. You're lying because you're talking about yourself. And when it comes to spiritual things, they are saying, and they are right, they say that you can't speak of yourself. You have to have another record of this. You have to have someone else that says this is true. I remember one day, it's been a while back, I met this man, and I never knew the man, never saw him before in my life. I don't know if he lived out of state someplace, I don't know. But he told me he was a prophet. I believe in prophets. But I didn't believe he was a prophet because he said he was a prophet. And so they said to Jesus, "You're lying because you're talking about yourself." Well, Jesus answered and said, "Yeah, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but you can't tell where I came from and where I'm going." So Jesus says that he is the light of the world, which we were talking about in verse 12. He said he's the light of the world. Jesus said he was the light of the world. And he lives in us, and he has commissioned us. He has given us authority to be the light of the world. He has given you the authority to give your life to him. He has given you the authority to make the decision to dedicate your life and everything you have and everything you're going to be and everything you are. He has given you the authority to choose to lose your life. He said, if you lose your life, you shall find it. But if you keep your life, you will lose it. He gives you the authority to make that decision. So Jesus, the man, was given the authority to make decisions. And he has given us the authority to make decisions. What are we going to do about it? So, Jesus says that he is the light of the world. Now, follow with me here. Go over a few more pages to Colossians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Yep, right there where it was. Colossians chapter 3. A terrific, terrific book. Beat you up and bless you at the same time. Now, Paul is writing to the church of Colossae, acknowledging, trying to persuade them to absolutely put their trust in Jesus. Don't trust in man, he says. Don't trust in man's philosophy in what you need to be and do. He says, don't trust their laws, their rituals. What he is saying is, follow the word of God. Amen. Follow what God says. Amen. He says this over and over. Read it in Colossians. And when he says in chapter 3, if you then be risen with Christ, he's not talking about baptism. He's talking about your relationship with him. Okay? You read the book and you find out. He's not talking about, well, now if you've been baptized. No, he's talking about if you have made up your mind, you're going to serve Jesus. If you have decided that you're going to trust him, trust your life with him, okay, then seek those things which are above. Hello. Seek those things which are above. Seek. Jesus said, if you seek me, you will find me. Amen. Scripture says, if you seek him early, you will find him. You know, I noticed the mother-daughter banquet whenever Sister Laura had told the ladies, you know, to look underneath their chair and there might be a note stuck there, you know, that you win a prize. And so all the ladies are looking under their chair. Now, that's quite a sight. Now, if she had said, okay, all you ladies, Everyone stand. Don't matter how old you are, how tired you are. I want you to stand and turn your chair upside down. And they would have probably looked at each other and thought she lost her mind. But she didn't. She told them to turn their chair over and see if there was a number on the bottom of their chair. And so, as far as I know, they all did. They all looked for a number on the bottom of their chair. Okay, so there's a seeking. See, they're looking for something. Well, if I look under this chair and it's got a piece of paper, it's got a number on it, then I get a prize. I get a reward for seeking. But if she had just said, okay, stand, turn your chair upside down, look at the bottom of it, then turn it back upright and be seated, they would want to know why. Why? Because they feel kind of foolish. If you have made up your mind you're going to serve the Lord, if you have said yes to Him and you desire to serve Him, He said, seek those things which are above. It's probably a good idea, if you're going to look for something, to look at the place where you think you might find it. You ever hear someone say, wow, I lost my phone. Where did you have it last? I had it last where it is. What do you mean, where did I have it last? If I knew where I had it last, that is where I would be looking. Right? I mean, duh. The problem is, I don't know where I had it last. And so, we need to be seeking where we're going to find what we're looking for. I'm looking here across the platform because it's well lit. Oh, is that where you had it? No, I didn't have it up here at all. Had it down the basement, but it's kind of dark down there. No, we need to be looking where we think it might be. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above. Set your affection. Make up your mind. Because the devil, your adversary, do you realize? The devil is your adversary. The devil hates you. The devil is your adversary. It's not people. People are not your enemies. People are not even your adversary. It's the devil working on your mind or on their mind. It is the devil working against you, and it is devils. It's devils working on your mind and trying to work on your situations and etc. If you think the devil's not bothering you, one thing for sure, he's already bothered you. And so, he says to set your affection on things above. Seek those things that are above and set your affection on things above. Not on the things of the earth. We're talking about life. We're talking about if we decide we're going to serve Jesus. Now, I want to tell you what, folks. We better get busy serving Jesus, because I am convinced we are running out of time. And even if we're not, if things are going to go on planet Earth for the next 1,000 years as they are, you're running out of time. I'm running out of time. I've had more funerals in the past 6 weeks, I guess, than any 6 weeks term I have had in my whole life. And some of them are people, they were not expected to die. You know, I get this phone call. Well, I have this funeral for this person. They died suddenly. Yes. We were not expecting it. Wow. It happens all the time, folks. It happens all the time. Set your affection, on things above, not on temporal things, not on the earth. For you are dead. And your life, look at this, your life, life. If you are going to serve God, your life, we're talking about life this morning, is hid with Christ in God. Your life is hid in Him. Your life is hid in Him. Your life, your whole life moves around Jesus. Your life, your work, your business, your marriage, your education, your recreation, whatever it is, should be revolving around Jesus. Hallelujah. Our passion, our energy, everything in us is in Christ. Our life, and we're trying to figure out what is life. Our life is hid, and it's hid in Christ. It's hid with Christ in God. So he goes ahead and tells us that we need to mortify. That's starve it to death. It's to kill it. It's to cut it off at the roots. Mortify this body. You know why? Because this body keeps wanting to set its affections on things on the earth. Turn with me to Revelation. And Revelation chapter 13. We were there this morning. Chapter 13. And the time period that we're looking here is in the last part of the tribulation period. But there's a time period we find Jesus talked about. There's a time period it's kind of a preparation. We know rumor of wars, etc., you know, that's going to take place, you know, before the tribulation period. Tribulation period is 7 years, Daniel spoke of. 3.5 years is going to be bad. And then the last 3.5 years, it'll be such as the world has never seen. And that's when this Antichrist is going to rise up. We think. Now, I say we think because as sure as we think we know, we may find out we don't. So I'm not going to say this is the way it's going to be, because it may not be. And if you know for sure how it is, know this, you don't know. Because God's Word is not always the way that we interpret it to be. But He does give us some signs of things happening. He says so. He said, but the day and the hour, we don't know all these things. But here is what is going to happen, he says, and that there's going to be kings rise up. And he tells us, we read chapter 13 about the beast and about the horns and the sun. Then you go 2 chapters more and you find out, tells you exactly what they are. They're kings, and kings from various nations and such, powers and people with authorities and what they do. But he says there's going to be a place, look in verse 4 of chapter 13, they worshiped. Verse 3. I saw one of the heads, as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world, there's coming a time when the whole world is going to be wondering about this power, this leader, okay? And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto this beast, and they worshiped the beast. People are worshiping. And they say, who is likened unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And we find in verse 15 that he gave power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, now hang with me here please, he causeth all, both small and great, important people and unimportant people. People that control other people's lives by influence and people that are controlled by influence. And he says the free and the bond, the man that owns a plant, the factory, and the people that work for him. There's a lot of people in countries nowadays that they're still bond. They're bond slaves. They are indebted to someone else, and they're like slaves. He's going to cause them to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, we know, you know, that when the mark of the beast comes, you don't take it, right? Are you aware of that? Okay, well, we don't expect you to be here anyhow. Okay, we plan on being in heaven before that time. But know this, and the scripture teaches this, that people are going to be prepared for this. It's like this beginning of sorrows that Jesus talks about. He said, this time is not yet, because the disciples asked Jesus about the temple, and Jesus talked about being destroyed. When's this going to happen? And he tells them, he said, but that's not yet. He said, this is just the beginning of sorrows. But the people get accustomed to it. So you ask me, you answer me this. Let me ask you. Do you think that you would be able to resist the Antichrist? Let's just say you were alive at that time. And you know that if you take that mark, you're going to spend eternity without God. Do you think that you would be able to exist without being able to buy or sell? You think you could do that? You know, I could live off my garden. Well, no, you see, they can't buy anything. Now, you see, we're getting ready for that already. See how accustomed we are? Many people don't even go to church all over the world, literally the world, because they haven't had a vaccine. And they're talking about getting, you know, a vaccine passport. Well, you know, there are some of the hospitals that if I want to go in, I would have to show that I've had both vaccines. Now, I didn't get them for that reason. And in fact, you know, haven't always been as cooperative as maybe I should have been, you know, with their vaccines and such. I'm not against vaccines. I thank God that there's been vaccines for a lot of diseases. But if they tell you you can't go into Acme grocery store and get groceries unless you can show you've had a, let's just say you've had the vaccine, okay? So would you get the vaccine? You can't go to the gas station because they will not accept anyone except someone that has the vaccine passport, we're going to call it, okay? Now, these things aren't happening widespread. Some places they are. Okay, but would you get the vaccine so you could buy and sell? Now, you can't go to work because your employer will not let you in the factory. He won't give you a job unless you have a vaccine card. So you can't travel. You can't get gas. You can't go to the courthouse to buy a house and do the paperwork because you can't get in. You can't sell because you can't get in. So, would you take the vaccine shot? Oh, wait, would you take the mark that shows that you've had the vaccine. And so now you're fine. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Sign on the stores. Help wanted. $50 an hour. Must have vaccine card. Hospital. You can't get in the hospital. Hey, my baby is sick. Get your vaccine, dummy. Get your vaccine. Because you're going to make everybody sick. Now, I'm not against vaccines, okay? I am not against vaccines. I think that our nation has developed vaccines through the wisdom of God. Yes. Fighting the powers of hell. Yes. And God has shown us how to eradicate polio and whooping cough and on and on and on. And I'm thankful for it. God uses medicine, okay? God uses medicine. My illustration I like to use mostly is Isaiah, when God told him, go tell King Hezekiah you're going to die. Get his house in order, you're going to die. I mean, that's a declaration. Isaiah, of all people, goes in and tell him, get your house in order, King. Then you're dead, fella. You're dying. Then he walks out. And Hezekiah, God, I can't praise you when I'm dead. And he cries out to God and cries out to God and cries out to God. And God says, Isaiah, go back in, mix up this fig portion, and put it on his chest and on his stomach, and tell him, I'm going to give him 10 more years. God practiced medicine. Now, let me tell you, he's not practicing. Amen. He knows what he's doing. God's not against medicine. Okay. And I'm not against medicine, of course not. But I am saying the time is coming when people will have to make a decision. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve man?
Yes, that's right.
The religious leaders, the people that were looking out for people, the people that were looking out for other people said to Peter and John, don't preach anymore about this Jesus. Because he's a false god. And they're upholding the law. Don't preach anymore about this Jesus. And they ask, whom should we obey? God or man?
Amen.
Good question.
Amen.
The time is coming, folks, when you will have to make such decisions.
Right.
In fact, you will before the day's over. You're going to have to make decisions. Are you going to do it man's way or God's way? Are you going to have attitudes like man has? Are you going to have selfish thoughts, vindictive thoughts? Are you going to have thoughts that are negative towards other people? Towards your wife, your husband, your kids, your neighbors, whatever. Are you going to get angry at that person that pulled into the gas pump just right before you did? Or the parking spot at the store or whatever? See, we're going to have to decide, are we going to live life God's way or man's way?
Amen.
Because it's really easy to do it man's way.
Yes, it is.
So the question is, question here, are we going to do it man's way or God's way? And so, in verse 17, no man might buy or sell, save or accept he that had the mark or the name, follow with me, or the number of the beast. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding, are you with me? Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. That will be important. For it's a number of a man. You see, this whole thing is set up on a man. Do you know eternal life is based on a man? And the Antichrist is going to be based on a man. It's all about man. It's about following man. What man you're going to follow? What man you're going to follow? You're going to follow this man, Jesus? You say, but you know what? If we don't follow this, we're going to die. Yes. Yes. You're going to die anyhow. You are going to die. Even when Jesus comes back, your body is going to die. You're going to be changed in a moment, but your body as you know it is going to cease to live. Your body, the house of the real you. And so we must come to the place as Peter and John was. Hey, who are we going to obey, God or man? Hey, we're going to kill you. Okay, but who are we going to obey, God or man? You know, we go back to three Hebrew children. You know, hey, if you don't bow before that image, we're going to throw you in that fiery furnace. You know, what'd they say? I mean, these people didn't even have the Spirit of God in them like we do. They didn't know anything about redemption. All they knew about was the law, and they knew about, hey, serve God this way and that way, but they didn't know anything about redemption. But they said, hey, don't even think about it. You don't even have to consider this. We're not bowing. We will die first. We'll die first. Folks, we need to make up our mind that we will live for Him right now. So that we may die for Him. Okay, because if we're not careful, we will fall into a trap. And we get sucked into what the world is trying to do. And we follow man's direction. What man is doing. It's amazing how many churches have shut down since the virus because people decided they didn't want to get around other people. We're the light of the world. Hey, we're supposed to be the light of the world. Hey, we're supposed to be the light of the world. Hello? And families have divided. Families have divided. People have quit seeing their children. They've quit seeing their grandchildren. Quit seeing their neighbors. I don't want to take a chance. I may get sick. I got news for you. We're going to get sick. Now, you know, I've often said, you know, it. I don't know whether it's good or not to die healthy. You know, can you imagine? You get up to heaven and here's some of these saints, you know, and they said, oh man, I died being torn apart by lions. How'd you die? I died healthy. Well, I don't know. I guess that's something to be thankful for. Absolutely. I'd rather die healthy than any other way. But we're going to die. We're going to die. And we need to choose which man we're going to follow. Man. The Antichrist is going to have to do with man and how men live their lives, how people live their lives. And we cannot, folks, we cannot live in fear. That's from hell. God's word says fear does not come from God. Fear, Paul says, is not of God. Fear is not of God. We know in whom we have believed. And we're persuaded that He's able to keep that which we've committed to Him against that day. So let's prepare to live and be the light of the world and put our trust in Him because we are life, our life. And the word life is translated lifetime. Let's do the lifetime. Our lifetime is hid with Christ in God. And it's okay. Stand together with us. Thank you for being here. I want to encourage those out in Streamland to get in church. If you have a home church other than this one, get to it. Okay? And get with other Christians and worship and praise God and encourage them. And don't be afraid. You say, preacher, you don't know how bad this virus is. You're right, I don't. I've had it and didn't even know I had it. You know, Brother Joe, Brother Dave Irwin, different ones have had it, and they thought they were going to die and prayed they weren't. But, so to speak, they felt so bad. That is true. I don't take that lightly. And I do believe in vaccines and the such. But it can't control our lives. We can't let anything control our lives except Jesus. Okay? Because we will quit being the light of the world. Okay? Love you. Proud of you. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. And Lord, help me to walk in your word. Help me to live your word. Help me to have my life, Lord, consciously hid with Christ in God. And Lord, watch over us this week. Keep us from sicknesses, Lord. Heal your people. Lord God, I thank you for so many folks, Lord, out there that of this assembly that you've touched, Lord, and you've brought healing to them in your process of healing. But Lord God, we know that one of these days we're going to fulfill that which heaven says precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And Lord, let us have that attitude, Lord, that we're not going to lose because we are hid in you. And we thank you, we love you, we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Thank you for your